Kia ora koutou and welcome to Shooting the Shit. We had a couple of extra guests coming on in Auckland, but a bit of craziness up there, obviously, lockdown. Jordan tells us he is at his sixth supermarket and can't get any meat, so Auckland people, what the fuck? But I hope everyone out there is getting through lockdown relatively unscathed and happy and healthy. But we are going to hit some bodybuilding topics. First up, we might do a quick review on... Someone's got some heavy breathing going on, man. Fucking who's running the Anadrol out there? Someone. Right. Really? Oh, God. Hey, yeah, we'll hit a quick review of the Texas and Europa first and get some commentary on that just briefly. Yeah, man. So we had the 2021 Texas Pro. Tom, let's get some commentary on that.
Yeah, honestly, seeing you know, and from being around Ian and actually seeing him in person, seeing how big he is, and then seeing him be dwarfed on stage by Steve, it's kind of in my brain. I can't even comprehend just how big Steve must actually have to be in person to make Ian look that small upper body, and especially in the most muscular shots, just day and night in the size. But awesome top three. Like the conditioning is starting to come back in those, in the open shows now, which is, it's really good to see that everyone's nailing it and everyone's coming in on point every single show.
Yeah, man.
Did you see the comment though by, who's the guy who owns the Olympia now, talking about the girl who died and saying that he's saying, you know, the emphasis on conditioning is dangerous and you got to speak to Jim Mannion and make a change. So maybe they'll go away from that extreme kind of conditioning for the safety of the athletes.
I don't know though, have you seen, so the coach that is in question with it, have you seen some of his like water depletion protocols? And
I was just watching a video on this today that, like, I don't know if you guys have seen it, it's like, it's ludicrous.
Like using diazidate from 3 days out, morning and afternoon for 3 days, and then adding in other diuretics at the same time, you know, like.
And mixing like three or four different mechanism diuretics as well.
It's not, so like, it's not Andreas Monza's coach, is it?
No, you know it is, Mike.
Shelby Starnes.
And look, I respect Shelby, you know, the athletes he puts out on stage, but if that's his protocol, you know, that is a fucking dangerous game you're playing because, you know, for those of us that have been around for a while, we remember the issues with the use of a lot of diuretics. We're not saying that, you know, that all diuretics are bad, but excessive use or, you know, unmonitored use. You know, we saw guys like Momo Benazir die. We saw Paul Dillette fold up into a staple on stage. And there were a lot of crazy things going on. So I think that extreme use of diuretics. I remember they brought in testing for diuretics at one stage.
Testing, yeah. The thing is that when I was watching the one today, you hear about a couple of the, because he coaches almost exclusively females. Mm-hmm. And they were trying to say that he has like, okay, for one, he's had like four or five people die. Like, that's ludicrous. That's some sort of pattern. You know what I mean? Like, you'd think you'd sort of start to question your methods, maybe.
If that is the case, you know, that's quite a scary stat. I mean, we have other coaches in the men's arena that have probably got that kind of a track record, unfortunately. But I guess, you know, the message is, you know, if you're going to use diuretics, make sure you've got some knowledge around that. You know, certainly on a protocol where you're using them for a number of days, you know, you are risking a lot of issues, particularly with potassium stripping diuretics and the impact that can have on your heart. So warnings there. Tom, agree with your point. Condition, you know, is definitely coming back in. I think there wasn't a lot in the difference in condition between Ian and Steve. I think in the night show, from what people were saying that were there, Ian managed to tighten up a bit more and then got a fairly decisive win there. But even looking at Philip Klahar in third place, all three of those guys brought an exceptional level of conditioning to the stage.
Yeah, and isn't he 47, did they say he was?
Yeah, man.
Which is unreal to still have legs that big and that conditioned.
Yeah.
At that age, you know?
Yeah, definitely, man. Yeah, I think he certainly pushed Ian really hard at Tampa. I think it came down to really Ian and Steve in this one. And I think, look, at the end of the day, though, you know, look, if the judges gave any one of those three first place, unless you were, you know, a fanboy of one of them, you would have to say that that decision was, you know, justified, really.
Yeah, you could, it, honestly, just looking from the top three, it would have been a very, very close pick. Mm. But, you know, my favorite will always be Ian. I'll always have that little favorite spot for him there.
When you meet people like that, though, you know, you do have those kind of fan favorite sort of stuff. I really like Ian. I've got to say, I love Steve Kluko's physique, though. His physique is something else, man. Just such a big structure, you know, all those things I wish I had.
Well, it's right. This thing, like Ian, when I put up all my stories, Ian, he's prepping for shows, prepping for the Olympia. He's a somebody, and he, you know, I'm a nobody pro, yeah. And he still takes the time out and messages me, you know, encouragement or saying, you know, you've improved so much, or it'll be awesome to see you. You know, it's little things like that from a guy so high up that just make it a little bit more special.
As they say, he's a very wholesome guy. He's good though, bro. He's a character too. Hey? I really like his personality. Comes across really well on the podcast because, you know, he's just so real, and his lack of filters is gold. So anyway, it was a great show, Texas Pro. And then the next one we had, obviously, was the Europa, which I think was a bit of a runaway victory, I think, in my opinion, for Nathan D'Asher. Ruly came in a lot better than he did previously, but I think it was pretty clear cut that Nathan had that one in the bag. Thoughts, people?
Yeah, agree. Very much agree.
Did you watch the Bodybuilding and Bollocks podcast the week before this show?
Probably, but I can't remember what you're referring to. What was it?
Nathan saying that he was so lean already that he was having cheat meals every day or every second day to try keep him, to try put some fluid back in and to hold his size before he flew over.
Oh man, that's gold.
And he was eating shit about 6 weeks out, wasn't he? Like, he only really dropped the hammer about 6 weeks out.
Yeah,
so he obviously leans up pretty quick.
Nuts, eh? Just he's going to be really interesting at the Olympia, man. Like, there's actually there's going to be a bunch of guys that are going to be really interesting this year at the Olympia. And my sort of conundrum was when I was thinking today of Nathan D'Asher, James Hollingshead, how do they pan out? Because Nathan looked absolutely phenomenal here. And look, you know, he outsized Ruly. His conditioning was amazing. James, we haven't seen for a year. Last time he was on stage, he was pretty phenomenal. What's he going to look like with another year on him? What's your thoughts on that matchup, the Battle of Britain?
Nathan's got a prettier physique. I think James is going to be hard and grainy and big and, you know, sort of Dorian-esque, you know, but even less pretty probably. If you go for Caucasian dry, or you get that nice round full Nathan D'Asher look. I personally obviously prefer Nathan's look, but pretty unattainable for me, so I have to aspire to James, I suppose.
I'm going to have to go with Caucasian dry here. I'm sorry.
Sorry, Tom.
I I honestly think Nathan has a very, very impressive physique. You know, the legs, the lats, he's well put together, especially in his most muscular. But I think James might just out-muscle him a little bit. You know, Nathan is, what, closer to 260? And James, what was he? He's just over 270 at the moment, I think it was. So he might be coming in a little bit heavier, which might really benefit in a lot of the shots, just being that little bit thicker and that graininess.
His cuts and his separation just don't seem to be as deep. Doesn't separate out as well. Like, he's definitely lean and dry and hard, but the muscles don't separate out as well from each other with James. So it just doesn't look as pretty, I guess.
Hey, here's an interesting one. So Mike mentioned earlier in a conversation we had, he was mentioning about the Aaron Singerman Redcon boycotting or pulling their funding from the Arnold Classic. And, you know, we can debate that if we want to, but he mentioned that if you were going to the Arnold, you wouldn't see Arnold athletes like Kai Green, et cetera, at the expo or whatever it was. How does that stack up for those guys like James and that would want to compete in the Arnold or in the Arnold Europe, or, you know, are they as contracted athletes obliged to run with what Recon says and not compete in the Arnolds, or?
Then it just goes against the whole, we stand for freedom, we stand for rights, right? But I'm sure that whole thing was taken out of context, and there must be more to what he was saying, you know.
Did you see Nick's Strength and Power this morning? He put up another one with the full Arnold interview, and that was way better. I mean, he was saying essentially, look, I'm an expert in building a bicep. I go with the experts when it comes to the virus. They say do this, they say do the other thing. Wear masks, get vaccinated. So if you are talking about freedom to not get vaccinated, not wear a mask, well, fuck your freedom. You know, it's about other people. So he was actually talking about people's desire for personal freedom encroaching on other people's health and safety. So when you put it in context, it was very reasonable. But you take that little snippet out of context, saying, you know, screw your freedom. And, you know, all the Americans jump up and down because it's all about freedom, right? But it's really about my civil liberties ending where yours begin. I can do whatever I want as long as it doesn't impact on you, right? So if I don't wear a mask, I'm going to infect you. So that's really what he was getting at.
It's just a great marketing ploy. They spotted it and they run with it to run with all the patriotic Americans to get more sales and to have them back Redcon. It's
so would we be taking a good tact if we had a great big anti-Arnold post and see how long we lasted? No, couldn't do it. But anyway, so that'll be interesting to see if their athletes actually compete in the Arnold, is looking pretty stacked at the moment. Right, hey, got a question for people. And Robert Timms, for those that look for people, hey, if you want to follow this guy at Mr. Classic Physique, Dennis James, so the Menace, has put up, he said, anyone who can show that this guy is not natural, 50K US is on the line. He's saying that Robert Timms is natural. So I met Robert at the Olympia in 2016. Top guy, really nice guy, really friendly, really down to earth. Was just buzzing out to be there. And my personal view is that if he says he's natural, then he's natural, you know. But when you look at that back, people have drawn comments, if he is natural, you're probably looking at genetics like Ronnie Coleman. Thoughts on the Robert Timms natty or not natty people?
I didn't even realize this was a thing. So he's put up 50K for you to prove that he's not natty.
Robert hasn't, but Dennis James has said.
He said
Robert's natty, and that he's willing to put the money up. You know, if you don't think he is, fucking put your money where your mouth is. So if you've got a spare 50K, Jackson, you can fucking hit DJ for a bet.
If someone takes him up on it, are they then, what, going to get him to do a drug test? And then
I don't know what the go is. I haven't read finer details, but
he might be like,
look,
who knows? He might be, very well might be. I mean, a guy that looks like that quite often. I mean, how heavy is this guy as well, to be fair? Like, he, some of those guys that look great by themselves, but how big is he actually?
When I met him in 216, not that big. When I saw him on stage the other day, obviously he has to make the classic weight cap. I'm not sure what his height is, a bit taller than me from memory. But you know, if he is natty, and look, there are those freaks out there that have got that phenomenal amount of muscle.
100%.
The only thing I was thinking about the whole debate wasn't whether he's natty or not, but was, if he is, fuck, I want to see this guy go hard and get into the open. Because that back, oof.
I mean, there's no reason he might not be. Like, I mean, he could be one of those freaks that, like, probably should have ended up in like the NFL or whatever, you know, but he's a genetic freak. So that's why we don't see, especially in bodybuilding and powerlifting, you know, they're fringe sports really. So you don't see the true genetic freaks until the occasional one comes along, like potentially this guy, you know, or like Ronnie Coleman, like we said, you know, it's,
yeah, it's true. You know, I think like in powerlifting, we probably saw almost an example of that with Odell Manuel when he gave up his league career because of his knee injuries and then turned into a powerlifter and suddenly threw some massive numbers up and everyone went, what the
exactly.
fuck? Yeah.
Exactly. You don't, these guys don't usually do our sports. You know what I mean? Like that there's no money. They usually are in the NFL or playing basketball or ice hockey or baseball or what, you know what I mean? They're in the big money sports. Because they get picked up when they're like 10 or whatever, and they get scouted, and that's it. They don't even get a chance to have a go at bodybuilding or powerlifting. And this guy's obviously fallen through the cracks. Yeah. And now we get to see him do bodybuilding, you know?
Yeah, and he doesn't get the million-dollar paychecks. Hey, which means that we should be tapping into high-performance sport and trying to flog off their athletes.
Of course we should. Of course we should, but there's no incentive. We're all we can't even agree with each other.
Tom, you got any thoughts on it?
Oh, not really going to say much. Just, you know, you can't say yes or no. Some people are. All I can think of is that guy's back. Doesn't look like Bronny's back. It looks like Joel Stubbs' back.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
It's like almost identical, you know.
Whatever happened to Joel?
Well, he could never really grow his legs, could he? Because when he played basketball and tore both his patella tendons, and then that was it.
I feel his pain. Done the same thing. Yeah.
Hey, if this guy's natural, then and he's didn't he win?
Yeah.
Like to win and qualify for the Olympia, natural, and then, you know, from what I'm seeing here, back on, I would call him top five. You know, potentially top three, because his front on it, as from what I can remember from photos, his legs were very fucking. They were just dice.
Separated as real deep separations too. Anyway. You know. I guess it's nice to be talked about, and look, he's a fucking great guy. So if you want to follow Robert and see how he goes, I think that my personal feeling is that him and Terrence will be having a bit of a battle chasing, and I think Bumstead's well and truly in the lead for a repeat this year, but we shall see. We shall see. Right, I'm going to stop that one. Got a couple of questions for you people. If the body part is still sore, should you still train it?
No.
Reasons being?
It's not recovered.
Tom?
What are you trying to do? You're trying to grow it? What are you doing?
Yeah. What are we? Yeah. Are you trying to get injured? Like, are we talking in a bodybuilding powerlifting sense?
Yeah.
If it's me and I'm prepping, say, like glutes or something, if it's sore, fucking hammer it. I don't care. the soreness is going to be there regardless. When I won my Mr. New Zealand title, I was training glutes every day to make sure they were tight. I was doing everything and anything to make sure everything was where it needed to be. Did I burn muscle? Can't say. Did it help me? Yeah. So it's always, there's two sides to the same coin in there, you know?
So you're more, I guess, looking at it from a calorie use rather than a, I mean, look, at the end of the day, in prep, you're not building muscle, are you?
No.
You know, so prep's probably a different proposition if you're just trying to generate that calorie deficit. I have heard some talk that that DOMS, et cetera, doesn't affect performance of the muscle unless it breaks down the form in the exercise. And at that point, if you can't do an exercise comfortably, you shouldn't train it. So that was one chain of thought. I'm probably like you, Jackson. If it's sore, I'd rather wait another day or two and then fucking beat it up after that than kind of going half-ass because I felt tender.
I mean, the thing is that most people like push their recovery too hard anyway. Like, they don't know when they're recovered enough to actually then do another workout and make progress. Most people aren't that body aware. So if they're the only sort of thing they know of that lets them know they're not recovered is usually DOMS. Mm. And if they've still got that, then, you know, fuck. Usually, because I mean, like, you're then not even, if that's not recovered, well, then you sure as shit know that you're, like, you've probably got a lot of systemic fatigue going on as well still. So you're just running the risk of injury, in my opinion.
You're probably more so in powerlifting because you're working at, you know, at a higher, you know, closer to your one rep max sort of weight. Whereas if you go in and you're doing, you know, sets of 12 to 15, and doing lots of flowery machine work as well, which is questionable. But you know, you can probably get away with a bit more of that than what you could if you were under a bar, either squatting or benching, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the thing with that is that you're looking at like the different systems then that like take longer to recover. And I typically split them into like four, mostly for people, is like the skill of something. So that's like squatting or deadlifting or whatever, like the actual being able to do the movement really well. Like you can train that pretty much every day. It's like catching a ball, like it's not stressful. And then there's the cardio, which like, again, cardio, you can train relatively commonly. It recovers quite quickly. So you can like go for a run one day, go for a run the next day, you'll be fine sort of thing. It's probably more your muscles that are going to give out than your cardio system. And then it's muscles, and then it's your nervous system. So like, if your muscles aren't recovered, then what makes you think your nervous system's recovered?
Hey, look, that's probably a real useful point because, you, as you said, most people just think DOMS, and that's what they think recovery is all about. But central nervous system recovery, what kind of commentary would you throw around that for people that are wanting to, you know, self-assess where they're at in that respect?
Oh, I mean, you guys have probably all been there, especially, I mean, it's, you still build it and you still build up a lot of nervous system fatigue and bodybuilding. Like you guys have all been there when you just feel like absolute dog shit. Your arms feel heavy. You just like, you wake up and you still feel like you're tired. You could go to sleep at any point, you know, and workouts that should feel good feel horrendous, you know, like that's, I mean, if you're getting that, then that's probably,
you think,
a sign.
You know, because like my throwaway comment would be just take an extra scoop of pre-workout. But you know, that will compound. And do you think that the use of stimulants compounds the rate at which your central nervous system would fatigue?
Yeah, 100%. Because then what are you doing with that caffeine and those stimulants? You're releasing adrenaline. Mm-hmm. So you're then, which is then very, very tiring for your body. So then you're giving yourself something more to recover from. And then you're just going further and further down the hole.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, typically I'll say, you know, if you're not sleeping and if your heart rate's like racing, even just sitting there, then you're probably pretty nervous system, like fatigued, pretty systemically fatigued.
Mike, any comments on training body parts and this still sore, whether you should, whether you shouldn't?
Yeah, I tend to be on a fairly strict routine between looking after the kids and work and so on. So, you know, and shoulders. So if I get around to sort of legs on a Sunday or whatever, and they're still a bit sore, I'll still train them because I can't really push it out a day or two just because of my schedule. So I'll go in and I'll kind of take it easy, I'll do a lot of extensions and stretching and sort of flush and full of blood and try and sort of assist the recovery rather than trying to bash my way through a really hard workout. So, you know, like I'm down to 4 days a week and training, so I should be recovering pretty well. You know, nutrition is good, that sort of thing. So it should be enough. Out another day or two to wait for things to be recovered. So I just stick to this, stick to the routine, but just sort of back off the intensity.
Cool. Well, good. Right. Next question. You get to bang the girl of your dreams, and I went insert Missy Truscott, but you get a 50-50 chance of catching the Rona or the new AIDS. Do you hit it or not? Over to you. We'll assume we're all single for this question. So, Tom, you were straight in there. You didn't have a fucking, no hesitations.
Fuck, mate, it only takes 14 days for isolation, so I'm good.
Easy answer there, Tom. Mr. Hinge.
Yeah, 100%. And then if you have to isolate together, that's even better.
Shed some more viral cells, eh? Right. That's it. Mr. Tab, you going to answer that one? We're going to take the
I missed a whole lot of that. Everything froze up. We're talking about banging chicks and getting corona.
Yeah, man. Girl of your dreams, 50-50 chance of catching the Rona. Do you hit it or you not?
Oh, you know me, mate. I'm filthy, eh? I'm right in there. I don't have to name who the girl of my dreams is. I'll get myself in trouble.
Gotcha. I don't know if I'll answer that one because, like, I don't know about the Rona, man. Like, there's some pretty hard-hitting, like, fuck, I'll trade a real bad case of fucking gonorrhea or something, bro, and I'll whip the fucking antibiotics down, but the old Rona, bro, I'm fucking not so sure on.
Mate, I know you very well. I know you very well.
I've already hit it before I answer the question. Okay. Fair call. Girl of your dreams, yeah, you take the pass.
It's only a 50-50 chance, mate.
Yeah, true that.
Yeah. You might still come out clean.
Yeah, possibly. Either way. Mr. Tab, have you got a couple of questions for us?
Yeah, I was anticipating Jordan on here as well. Both you guys as coaches. You know, I'm a numbers guy. I'm really interested in what sort of metrics or you guys think would be useful or valuable when it comes to sort of clients you're working with. I mean, I know we do the check-in photos and send them in. That's a fairly educated, astute eye to kind of see the small incremental changes. I like to do body fats. I do my blood glucose every morning. What other sort of, you know, weight every morning, every afternoon as well when I'm at the gym, that sort of thing. Is there anything that you guys feel is valuable or isn't valuable? I mean, assuming that they're kind of valid measurements, as in they're being taken accurately, what would you use and what would you kind of think would be a waste of time?
Who's going first?
I mean, so you want it like measurables, like things that you actually can.
Is there anything that you would use, or is there anything that you'd find useful? And if you just go, no, I just go off the photos and how you look, I find I can't do that. I'm just, my brain does fucking crazy things when I look at myself. So I need some numbers.
What I always find useful is sleep duration and sleep quality. That's one with my clients is something I like to monitor a lot. So if they're not sleeping for a decent duration or they're not sleeping very well, then I know that there's something that's off and we need to address the recovery side of things. That's probably one of them, that and digestion. If foods or things aren't digesting or they're struggling or they're getting bloating or they're having reactions to certain foods, that's something that I would address very, very quickly, because we're putting food into the body for a reason. And if that food's not going in and it's not working, then you've got to pull it out, address, put something else in and find something that fits with that person, because everyone is different. Some people can work with certain foods, some people can't. And then you should start finding that rhythm, better sleep, better digestion, and then the numbers in the gym, they should reflect. So once you get a handle on those things, you should start seeing a better reflection in the gym and a reflection of their body composition.
Jackson?
I mean, the thing with tracking is, like, if you know what to do with the numbers and you understand what the numbers mean, then the more information you can get, the better. Because otherwise you'll be like, oh, why did that happen? Oh, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, if someone sends you a photo and you're like, oh, why do you look worse? We just talked about it before. Why do you look worse? You know what I mean? Like, if you have someone that can effectively track, like, their sleep, their resting heart rate when they wake up, their blood pressure, their macros, or their calories, their protein, fat, carbs, their steps, then you have all the bits and pieces. Like, I do that for myself. So, like, you have all the bits and pieces, so you know when something's working or when something needs to change. You know, same with and blood work every 3 months or so, especially when you're doing comps and stuff. You know, I remember I did this one diet one time, and I really pushed the red meat, which everyone swears by for a strength sport, and did it for about 3 months and went back and did my bloods, and my cholesterol was an absolute mess, you know. So, but if I felt okay-ish, I suppose. I was heavier, so I assumed I would feel more tired. But my cholesterol was an absolute mess. Dropped the red meat, well, to like once a day, you know, like I usually do, and swapped more to, yeah, chicken, fish, etc. And cholesterol's low. So, you know what I mean? So you need to, the more you can track and the more you then know what to do with it, the better, in my opinion.
I probably haven't got much to add to that, Mike, other than I think, you know, it's always a case of good information in, good information out, shit in, shit out. So if you've got someone, and I know like yourself, is very meticulous about tracking those things, and, you know, when you're rating yourself on maybe on a 1 to 10 or whatever, you have a very consistent, and it's hard to be objective when you're dealing with yourself, you know, but if you can be as consistent as possible with those self ratings to give the best information possible to the coach, you know, better outcomes. So I'm always a fan of more information, probably not as hung up on my personal details as what you are in terms of tracking things to make sure you're on track. I kind of leave that to someone else, but again, if you can take good information and it's valid information, then, you know, good outcome.
Yeah, I guess I'm looking to give good quality information to my coach, and he says, oh, you send me some photos, send me your weight on, you know, chicken day, and you know, how your week's been, sleep and digestion, that sort of thing. And I'm giving him my weight every day because it's bouncing around a little bit. I'm giving him more information because he can ignore it if he doesn't need it or want it, but I figure it's better to give him more than not enough. And I guess on the numbers thing, I never take any single number in isolation. Like, if my body fat measurements show something really weird, but my weight's okay and my look's okay, I'm not going to freak out because of that measurement. I'm really tracking it over time, make sure the trends are going in the right direction. So I try not to get too hung up on any one measurement. Anyone, you know, jump on the scales. Like last week, I dropped 1.5 kilos in a day, and I jumped on there and started freaking out. It's like, you know, I guess it's not really my problem. It's Kurt's problem, isn't it? So, you know, try not to get freaked out by any one measurement, but do like to take a bit of data if I can.
Right, another question. This is one, fuck it, marry it or kill it. PEDs or supplements or food. So take your pick, either PEDs, supplements or food. Which would you fuck, which would you marry, and which would you kill? I can kick off because I've had the chance to think about it. So it'll give you a second to think about it. And I thought I would run with PEDs. And fuck it. Have to be the ace. I think the old ace, you know, it's a fucking, you know, almost a blessing, but it's a fucking curse. So, you know, fuck it. In terms of Marriott, got to be the GH, man. After tearing both my quad tendons, I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing at my age without using that in low dose, simply for looking after my tendons. You know, like I look at all the guys that have, especially in the powerlifting, and they were staunch natties and they're fucked. They've got no rotators, their hips are gone. And I'm just like, just put your shit aside, run some low DH just for your health. You know, not going to make you big and freaky or anything like that. It's a health thing. So that and kill it, Lasix. Any fucking potassium stripping diuretic. No place for me. So that's my list. I'll hand over to Jackson because you look like you've
wait. I thought you were meaning like fuck it, Mary, kill it, like as in like out of PEDs, food.
Nah,
I thought it was that as well.
Yeah, and I was gonna say that's easy. Yeah. That's easy.
Okay. No, look. It was a choice there because I got asked. It said PEDs or supplements, and I thought some of us don't really have any hate supplements. So I throw foods in there as well. So you can choose either PEDs or supplements or foods. And
what I mean, if we're going to rank those three, this is what I thought. Oh, no, we're going to rank those three. God damn, you would kill the supplements. Like, honestly, no one needs those. Just get rid of them. Who gives a shit? And you would marry food and you would fuck the PEDs, surely.
Yeah, that's the fun.
Yeah, I mean, oh, so you do PEDs. All right, so then I'll do food. Food. I mean, I would have to marry eggs. I've had eggs literally every day for like 10 years straight for breakfast, or at least one meal. So they're probably my go-to. I think that's super underrated. Fuck it. It would have to be raspberry licorice logs with the chocolate in the middle.
Killer.
The RJ's ones. You know the ones I mean.
Give me the three pack.
Yeah, it might as well just be one big one because you're not doing that in three sittings. Like that's one serving, fam. Come on. I'm probably actually going to get a lot of hate for this one, but I would actually have to say broccoli and cauliflower. It never sits well with me. Never, ever sits well with me.
I hear you, bro. It's one of those foods that I think it's a high residue food.
Mm.
So actually, I heard one coach saying that broccoli should not be fed to humans. so fuck, I hear you on that one, man.
Yeah, man. I stick to other veggies, you know, capsicums, carrot, spinach, kale, that, you know, or not so much kale, but you know, that's...
come on, quiche as well, bro.
You know, you mix coconut oil in with your spinach so that it's easier to scrape into your kale so that it's easier to like scrape out of the pan into the trash.
God, Tom, let's hear your fuck it, marry it, or kill it list.
Shall I go food as well? Because I'm a natural athlete, I mean, you know.
Yeah, you do whatever you like, man.
Nah, fuck off, PEDs. Okay. Ooh. Now, my kill it, I'm going to start with kill it. And I'm going to just fucking straight put it there. I don't care about diuretics. Halo. I've had real fucking Halo twice, and that can fuck off. Seriously. The moodiest cunt you'll ever meet on it. I'm like, 5 seconds, I'm good. Then I'm down, then I'm up, then I'm down. Then you come off of it, and you spend 4 weeks wanting to cry in your bedroom alone. Then I'd have to say Mary would have to be either sussed or mast. They're my two go-tos. And then fuck
you, you can have a throw pull. You can be polygamous. That's fine. We'll allow it.
two ups. And then I have to go, fuck it, GH, because you always want a little bit of GH in there.
Good time. Mr. Tab, we're going to food supplements or PEDs? What's your
as a school teacher who's married to a police officer, I'll stay well away from the PEDs. I'll go supplements. I'll marry whey protein because I just use it three times a day, just for convenience sake. Like I try and get a range of protein sources, but man, it's just super convenient to put some whey protein in there.
Yeah.
Fuck it, we'll go pre-workout. Because every now and then, if you want a good time, smash it in there. And I train a bit in the afternoons, so I don't use it a lot because I have issues with sleep anyway. So I try and if I train at 4 or 5 o'clock, I'm not having a pre-workout. So just all the fucking sleep supplements I've used, the fade out, the melatonin, because none of it works. I still sleep like shit.
CPAP is the word, my friend. I actually did a sleep study again the other day, and I went and saw the specialist, and he said, it's very surprising that you don't have bad sleep apnea. He said, you've got relative sleep apnea. And I went, I said, I'm weighing like 93 kilos when I did the sleep test. In the off season, I was 120. Maybe I'll repeat it when I'm 120. So if I have mild sleep apnea, he said I could use a CPAP if I wanted it, but it wouldn't be funded. And I was like, look, I don't care about the money. Do you think it'll benefit me? And he goes, could do. But I said, would you spend the money on it? And he goes, probably not. He goes, I've seen, and he told me what my score was versus what he gets and what he pushes onto on a CPAP or an APAP. So I don't need one at this point. So roll on the off season. Sorry?
What was your score? How many episodes were you having an hour?
Oh, a handful, but not a lot,
Yeah.
I went over to by my gym. There's actually a sleep place, and I have a CPAP machine. Best decision I ever made. You don't even have to pay for it. You literally can just rent them, $35 a week. They give you the mask for free, everything. Best decision ever. You wake up in the morning feeling so different.
Yeah, I'll probably get one for the off season because I said to him, will it make a massive difference? He goes, look, it's not that bad. And I thought, I'm 27 kilos lighter. Once my weight goes back up, I said, sure, I get another test. He goes, yeah, definitely. So,
your sleep would be well different at 93. To 120. If you've got mild at 93, you are 100% going to have like proper sleep apnea at 120.
He said to me, he goes to me, when you sleep on your side, you have less. Can you sleep on your shoulder? And he almost said shoulders. And then he went, are your shoulders fucked? He goes, you look like the kind of guy that would have fucked shoulders. I went, yeah. And he goes, most guys that go to the gym, and then he said, by that stage, can't sleep on their sides. And I was like, yeah. It's life. So anyway, sleep supplements, love them or hate them. Anyway, I kind of agree with Mike when it comes to the fade out, because it's really good. I get a good sleep, but it gives me a full noise anxiety attack, and then I fall asleep, which is really unusual. Like, I take it and it your breathing seems to start going really fast, and then your heart I don't know if it's your heart or it's your head, but you start overthinking it, and then I'm like, holy shit, I'm basically having an anxiety attack. And then I wake up in the morning going, what the fuck happened there? Really unusual feeling. Not too sure about that one.
I've never tried them that much.
I really liked, Mike Kingsnorth sent me some of that BSC, what's it called, Calm or something like that. And that's really nice. That really nice to sleep on. Yeah, really like it. Yeah, so anyway. Yeah, I rate that stuff. It doesn't give you any, if you sit there and just really chill out, it's almost like you've had a little bit of lorazepam or something like that, and you're just kind of a little bit floaty, and then, oof, nice sleep, no hangover in the morning. But the fade out, I love the sleep it gives me, but the anxiety bit beforehand, it kind of got too much. I did it for about 2 weeks, and it got progressively worse each time. And by the end of 2 weeks, I was just almost having terrors before I fall asleep. So I was like, oh, this isn't worth it. So, Right, Mike, you got any other questions for us? You frozen up?
No, not really. Didn't really come up with too much. I was just doing it on the fly. Sorry, guys.
All good. Hey, what we might do is cut out because we've all got shit to do and want to get this up so people can have something to watch during lockdown.
On that,
this came to, I was running out of liver and organ defender and Paley Supplements got it through to me. I don't know, it must have gone just before lockdown. It was on the day of lockdown, but it arrived and I was like, holy shit. So some of the supplement companies, a shout out to Paley Supplements, but I know other supplement companies out there, Nutritech, are saying that they're still shipping. I know Mike Fowles, his company's still shipping. So guys, if you've got nothing to do in lockdown, you want to spend some money, spend it with local retailers and that, you know, that support our industry. So, you know.
Can they send Jordan some meat, some egg whites?
It's mad, man. 6 supermarkets and no meat. I was like, what the fuck? Maybe. Yeah. Actually, I was going to do a shout out too, because there was no rice flakes anywhere and I was down to my last lot and Aiden managed to drop some for me at the supermarket. So I managed to get some of those. So shout out Aiden, much appreciated. I've got rice flakes. Can't find egg whites anywhere. So like I'm throwing out egg yolks like there's no tomorrow at my place. So this is what it is. But hope everyone stays safe and during lockdown. Hopefully we get out of this thing pretty quickly. And if not, do lots of cardio and have some fun. Watch some good Netflix series. So take some recommendations on those on the next one. Thanks very much, guys. Appreciate it, Jackson. Thanks for coming on.
Shot soon, man. No worries. Enjoyed it.
No worries.
Always good seeing you, Tom. Thanks, and we will catch up with people next week. See you all.